You're listening to the Ideal Business Show with Pat Rigsby. This is the place where fitness entrepreneurs come to learn how to earn more income, have more impact, and enjoy more freedom. Now, here's your host, Pat Rigsby.
Pat Rigsby here with another episode of the Ideal Business Show. And today, my special guest is Tim Boris, who is an author, entrepreneur, coach, speaker. He is the CEO and president of the Fresh Wellness Group. And in truth, he's done a little bit of everything in the fitness industry, pretty diverse set of experiences. And, you know, I've gotten to know Tim through our mastermind over the past year and really found a lot of what he's done and is currently doing to be interesting and even fascinating to, you know, just see what's possible out there for fellow fitness professionals. So with that, Tim, welcome.
Thank you, Pat. Great to be on the call.
So give us a little bit of background. How did you get started in the fitness industry?
I was an athlete playing, you know, baseball at the national and international level throughout university, and took my kinesiology and always been into sports and athletics. So it was a natural fit to start doing some personal training when I was in high school and university. High school, I was a gym monitor, and then, just got into the industry and loved it. Started doing some coaching. I was a strength conditioning coach and pitching coach for National Baseball Institute up here in Canada. And did that for many years until blew up my arm and didn't play anymore, and moved to a different city. Didn't really know anyone in athletics, so started my own business from the personal training standpoint, and the rest has just been history since 25 years goes pretty fast.
yes, doesn't it? Time certainly flies. So how did you kind of make that transition from, you know, athlete and person who's just interested in, you know, the industry as a whole and kind of jumped in there as a professional to eventually becoming an entrepreneur?
Oh, yeah, I guess I really didn't know any different at the time. The first job I ever had was the only salary I ever had was the one I paid myself. So it was always a contractor, or even when I worked at other gyms, it was always as a contractor, never an employee. So I don't know if it was just the natural way to go. You know, and we've been in the industry around the same amount of time. And I think at that time, well, it still is a bit of Wild West, but there was less formal options for you at that point to be an employee of a gym as a personal trainer, at least in Canada. I know US has a lot more personal training and gyms than Canada does, but at that time I was just doing what I did and got some clients, started seeing some results, figured some things out, made a whole bunch of mistakes, and eventually I think if I knew now what I knew then going into it, I may not have started my own business. But you just start doing things and decide to go out and do things on your own. And the great thing about being an entrepreneur is I think a lot of us in this situation probably don't take direction well from others and like to be doing their own thing. Whether it's always easier, that's debatable. And in fact, it's probably not. But for me, there's a premium to be put on being able to make the decisions and the mistakes rather than just showing up and having someone else tell you what to do.
So your business is certainly a well-rounded one. I mean, tell us a little bit more about what your business looks like today. Yeah, I think that'd be pretty interesting for people to learn.
Yeah, one of the reasons I started my own business was because, well, first of all, I wanted to try some new things that weren't possible in the health club market, and just the structure working at a big box health club, they wanted things done a certain way, and I didn't necessarily agree with the way they were doing it. So that's why I started my own business. But then I also found out that I really got bored quickly and disengaged when I was training too many clients all at once, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours of clients straight. I just wanted to stick a pencil in my eye. And so that the first thing I got into was doing some group training, and that broke up the private training a little bit, which helped. Some of my executive clients would start saying, "Hey, can you come in and talk to our company about this?" And that's how I got into the workplace wellness side. I quite enjoyed that, doing some consulting to help companies set up a wellness program. And then that morphed into companies would say, "Hey, we're thinking about building a gym. Can you help us decide what equipment to put in?" And I started doing some fitness center consulting. And now we really have sort of three divisions of the business. We have a couple of personal training and private coaching studios. And we do the corporate wellness side, where we build and manage their fitness centers for them. And then the third side is more the facility design equipment consulting aspect. And I guess that my speaking would be sort of across all three of those categories. But over the years, I've had people say, pick one thing and focus on it. And I guess part of the reason I started my business was to not have to focus on one thing. So it's probably held me back a little bit from progress over the years, because I didn't have I was a bit too spread thin, but I've really enjoyed it. And things have over the past few years have really come to fruition in a number of areas. And it's that whole thing of, you can't always see where it's going to end up, but you're doing it because you believe it's the right thing to do. And that's, I guess, where I am today is, I've known all along it's the right thing to do, and it's working well now. But as my wife will attest to, it took a long time to get any traction going.
So how does your role or schedule function now with these kind of varied divisions? Because I see that, you know, one of the questions that I get a lot from fitness entrepreneurs is, you know, how do they create any sense of balance or continuity within facets of their business, within facets of their life? You know, how do they move forward and kind of hold up their standard of performance in each area of their life without being run ragged?
Yeah, that's always a delicate balancing act. But I think it comes down to, as far as the quality, you don't necessarily have to be doing a lot to be doing good quality. And as you start doing more, you realize where you can make the biggest impact. And you know, when you're first getting into the industry, you're going to do a whole bunch of different things and test things out, and that's fine. But as you get busier and you realize where your time is best spent, then you're able to focus on that more. And you've also learned the lessons of doing a whole bunch of things that maybe aren't ideal. How it fits into the bigger picture and how you know, I would say that goes back to your why. And you talk about that in your ideal business, identifying what's the reason you're doing what you're doing and what your ideal business looks like for you. And for me, I'm very big on the why I'm doing what I'm doing. And that umbrella why allows me to do a lot of different things. You know, as a technology geek, people talk about Apple all the time. And, you know, if Apple puts out a new product, it doesn't surprise people if it's not a computer. They're easy able to do that because their why is to think different and disrupt different industries. So that makes sense. Whereas, you know, someone like HP or Dell puts out a car, you're like, well, what are they doing? And I think with the business, you want to make sure you know why you're doing what you're doing and what you're out there to accomplish.
So with that being said, I mean, you've already accomplished a lot. Where are you kind of headed moving forward? In the upcoming 12 months or so, where do you see yourself growing and evolving and improving?
My mission and purpose has always been to help people experience how amazing life can be when you're healthy, happy, and fit. But doing that in private studios doesn't allow me to reach as many people as possible. So for me, it's working with you to help expand in the online side of the business. With my book out now, it's promoting the concept of the book and health and wellness for a greater number of people. So that will involve speaking more and probably a little bit more traveling right now. But the idea is to take that message and expand it to a much wider audience.
Very cool. So we've got a little bit of your backstory, a little bit of where you are now and where you're headed. So now I'm going to kind of put you on the spot and put you in the role of kind of an educator and coach, which obviously you're very adept at. So tell me, as far as lessons you've learned along the way in being a fitness and wellness business owner, could you share a few of those that you think might be valuable for the people listening in?
Yeah, absolutely. For me, one of the biggest lessons is doing what you're passionate about. I know there are some people out there that can go to work each day and just punch a clock and, you know, have a life outside of work. For me, I don't know how people get up each morning, and there's probably a reason that so many people are miserable out there. For me, I have to love what I'm doing. And if over a certain period of time, if I'm not loving it, I change it and do something that I enjoy. And so that, for me, is the biggest thing. One of the other segments of the business that it's more of a hobby passion project for me is teaching and educating other fitness professionals. I've been doing that for the past 15 years and teach workshops, certifications, my own as well as other companies. But that goes back to one of my core values is continuous learning. And there are so many people out there in the industry that I see that think they know it all. And for especially for those of us who've been around a while, the more we learn, the more we realize we don't know. And that there's ways to learn and grow and develop and improve. And so continually learning. So being a sponge and soaking everything up around you, whether it's marketing strategies or how to build your ideal business or techniques and tips for being a better coach and trainer, always learning. So those would be the two biggest ones. And after that, the last one would be, for me anyway, I'm a practical learner. You got to experience things. And so fail repeatedly and learn. And that's part of the learning process.
So, you know, all of those were fabulous. So I'm going to kind of keep us in this kind of realm and ask you, what are a handful of things that you feel like have been useful in you growing your business since, you know, you've certainly grown in other areas? I mean, I know a lot of people have, you know, talked about getting into the corporate side of things, and a lot of people have aspired to grow a business that would be big enough and impactful enough that other industry professionals would want to learn from them. So how have you grown your business as successfully as you have over time?
By banging my head against the wall many times. That would be, yeah, I can't even count the number of mistakes. And, you know, I look back at plans that I, and 6-month plans, annual plans, 5-year plans that I made 20 years ago. And I just laugh. I'm like, whoa. I never even came close to meeting so many of those goals. Yet, if you look back over the time, there are all these amazing things that have accomplished over the time. So the timelines that you think may not always work out, but a big part of it comes down to that continual learning, reaching out and not being afraid to invest in yourself and your education and the relationships that you're building. I've done lots of different coaching programs over the years. And again, my wife would sometimes shake her head and be like, you're spending how much on some coaching program or some conference or certification that I've gone to learn and grow. And at the time, I didn't know how I would justify the expense. Sometimes it was on credit cards. Sometimes it was pulling it out of savings. And sometimes it was just if a new client package would come in, I'm like, all right, I've got some cash. I'm just going to spend, put it back out again on coaching. over the years, those learning experiences add up and you're able to grow. And the timeline's rarely on the trajectory that you think it will be. But absolutely, if you do it continually over time, it will happen. It's like compound interest on your learning.
I like that. I like that last part a lot, especially. So one thing I ask all the guests who come on the podcast is, okay, if you had three tips for somebody who might already be a business owner in our industry, but is, you know, not nearly as far along as you are, you know, and they would like to, you know, move faster and move further, what might those three tips be?
Make sure you're doing the things that you want to be doing, first of all. And next would be find people that have done what you're wanting to do. And then third would be buy speed, invest in coaching, help, mentorship, reach out to people. You know, even if you don't have the budget, there are local business owners that will take you under their wing if you reach out and ask for help. If you can get into a coaching program or a mastermind, do it. It's like rocket fuel for your mental outlook. Every time I go to a conference or a mastermind meeting or even just meet with other local business owners, I come out feeling so energized. And just renews your excitement for growing and accelerating your business. So having that outlook and that mindset makes a huge difference. Because if you're too insular, as we all know, anyone who runs a business, very few other people get it. Very few other people get what you go through. So finding those other people that have that common ground, and especially ones that are more successful with you. I forget who said it, is like, if you want to be a millionaire, hang around with billionaires. And it's, you know, look at the people that are a step ahead or a couple steps ahead of you and figure out what they've done and how to get the advice from them.
Very cool. So if somebody wanted to learn more about you and they wanted to study what you're doing with your business, pursue, you know, some of the consulting stuff that you do, buy the forthcoming book, any of that stuff, where can somebody find you?
TimBoris.com or thefitnesscurveball.com are sites to go to. My company, Fresh Wellness Group, is freshgroup.ca. You can connect with me through all any of those sites. They're all in the process of being updated and things like that. So reach out to any of them. Social media, at TimBoris on my social media accounts, and you can reach out. Feel free to ask me questions. Love to help out in any way I can.
Very cool. Well, Tim, I appreciate you spending some time with us today on the Ideal Business Show. I mean, what you shared is pretty inspiring, just because, you know, I mean, I don't think you were shy about the running up against some dead ends and still being able to persevere and your approach to just, you know, that compound interest of learning and eventually reaping the benefits. I mean, that's some takeaways that I was excited to be reminded of. So I'm sure our listeners did as well. We'll have the link to Tim's site in the show notes. Again, thank you, Tim, for being on, and thank everybody for listening in to one more episode of the Ideal Business Show.
Thanks for listening. We've got a special gift for our listeners. We're giving away 52 cut and paste newsletters that you could start using for your fitness business today. To get your special gift, head on over to patrigsby.com/gift.